This is radio station WATD in Marshfield, Massachusetts. WATD operates at a frequency of 95.9 megahertz by authorization of the Federal Communications Commission.
95.9 WATD, celebrating 45 years as the South Shore's radio station.
Welcome to a special presentation of WATD celebrating 45 years as the South Shore's radio station. I'm Rob Hakala, the current program director and host of the South Shore's Morning News. Tonight, we are going to hear from some of the voices of today, and also we'll be hearing with our own Larry Nelson, who recorded a number of interviews for our 30th anniversary. We'll be hearing some of those people whom we've lost over the years, taking a look back at 45 years of the South Shore's radio station. WATD signed on the air in December 1977. The first broadcast on WATD's airwaves at 95.9 FM was the 1977 High School Super Bowl. It was Division IV, Hull versus Ashland. Hull would win that game 21-9. The radio station and studios weren't even ready yet. In fact, WATD wasn't prepared to do a full broadcast day. But the signal was put on the air in order to bring the football game to the South Shore. That's been our commitment to the South Shore and its communities for 45 years. It was fitting that just recently, in 2022, our 45th anniversary, that Hull was in the Super Bowl again, and we brought you that game as Hull went to the Super Bowl to beat Kipp Academy 27-6 in Division 8. During the course of this hour, we'll be hearing from some of the instrumental voices in the history of WATD and also hearing from some of those people whom we've lost over the years. So sit back and enjoy as we celebrate 45 years of the South Shore's radio station, 95.9 WATD.
This is Kathy Lynch, Chief Engineer of WATD, FM 96. If you live near our transmitter, located on Grove Street in Marshfield, there's a slight chance you can hear our signal on your television set or some other electronic equipment. If this should happen, we invite you to call our engineering department at 837-1166. That's 837-1166. We'll arrange for a technician to meet with you at your convenience to help remedy the situation. We'll be on the air soon, serving the entire South Shore with a crisp, clear stereo signal. WATD, FM 96 in Marshfield, Stereo South Shore.
WATD Radio was founded by Ed and Carol Perry. Now, over the 45 years, you've certainly heard Ed Perry with his commentaries, the good, the bad, the really, really stupid, his news reporting. But in the very beginning, Ed Perry was also a disc jockey.
The old troll of rock and roll.
Hi, kids, this is the old troll, king of South Shore old-time rock and roll, and I hope you'll set your dial to FM 96 WATD every Saturday night at 6 when I'll be bringing you the world's most wretched, worst rock and roll show ever. Yep, it's 6 hours of unparalleled air pollution with all those old hits your mommy wouldn't let you listen to. And it's all right here on Saturday nights on WATD FM 96 Stereo.
So we're here with the owner of WATD, Ed Perry, long time ago known as the old troll of rock and roll. Why did you choose Marshfield?
Well, we chose Marshfield because I'm basically a Massachusetts kid, and I grew up in Natick, Massachusetts, and our first radio station, Carol's and mine, my wife's and I, our first radio station was down in Falmouth. And after we sold that, we were looking for a place to build another radio station. And we had moved to Duxbury. And so having a radio station in Marshfield just seemed like a good idea. But really, my wife, who was an economics major actually has a master's degree in economics, she was hired by banks to go look around areas in Massachusetts and determine which areas were growing and try to predict what the economy would be like, you know, 5 years in the future. And back in 1973, when we moved to Duxbury in 74, but in 1973, we made a tour of the whole area where you could fit a new radio station in. There was one frequency, And that frequency could have been assigned on Cape Cod. It could have been assigned in Plymouth. It could be assigned to Wareham or New Bedford. Or it could be assigned up in the northern parts of the South Shore, or the middle parts of the South Shore, in Marshfield or Hanover or Scituate. And we looked at the projections for where the economy was going to go, and we determined that the South Shore would be a good place in which to build a new radio station. And, of course, when you look at something in 1973, you understand full well that by the time you put it on the air, it's going to be 1977 or 1978. So having the ability with my wife's economic background to do a little bit of forward projecting and say, where is this area going to be when we're ready to go on the air? It was very, very helpful and actually worked.
Now, coming into Marshfield in the middle half of the 70s, there was a lot of people who said, we didn't need you. We had a radio station nearby. We had our Boston radio stations. What were you going to do? And I remember this growing up in Marshfield. What were you going to do that they weren't doing for us?
Well, what we were going to do is we were going to essentially bring some of the protocols about community radio that we had learned down on Cape Cod. And really, my model was a station that no longer exists. It was WKOX in Framingham. I grew up in Natick, and my parents listened to WKOX. It was a daytime AM station, had 1,000 watts of power. It was on 1190, and it did all of the community stuff. I remember once being invited to a rainbow dance by an absolutely beautiful girl when I was a sophomore in high school, and spending all my time watching the reporter from WKOX go around and interview the kids. She never asked me out again for anything. But it was that kind of radio. I remember 1951 when WKOX had been on the air, I think, only 4 or 5 years, and I was a kid in elementary school. They came to Natick because Natick was celebrating its 300th anniversary, the anniversary of its founding. And they set up a little trailer in Natick, and they had their disc jockeys there. And it was all very exciting. And WKOX would come to every high school football game. Their news people would show up at every community event. And it made an impression on me, and it made an impression on my parents, who normally would listen to the Boston stations, but when it came time for news, they would turn on WKOX. And we made a determination that what we could bring to the South Shore was a similar format, that we could bring community involvement, local news, stuff that wasn't being done. And if we did it right, we could sell a lot of advertising. And as it turns out, all those things worked out. One of the things that radio cannot do without is listeners. And it's a symbiotic relationship that we in broadcasting, we take a piece of infrastructure, which consists of a big, tall metal tower with an antenna put on top of it, with a bunch of audio sources connected to it, things that play records, things that play CDs, things that drain computers of audio information. But it's all the same. Every radio station is essentially the same technically, that it's a piece of infrastructure. It's rather like having an empty stage, and onto that stage you bring a performance. And it is the performance that determines whether anybody is going to buy a ticket, whether it's worthwhile to tune your radio dial to that particular radio station. And we've been fortunate down here in that there is a plethora of talent on the South Shore of Massachusetts. And we've been lucky because we've been able to recruit a lot of that talent, people who fully understand what radio is about, who have the ability to write, to present, to create, to integrate, to really make good radio programming happen. But no matter how good the stage is, no matter how great the performers are, and I think we have both, you still got to have an audience. And the audience has to care about the presentation. And here on the South Shore, we have communities that are not just towns, they're not just cities, but they are communities of people. They're people who care about the schools, about the infrastructure of the town, about the government, about how the kids spend their time. And without this sense of community, without people who are proud of the places in which they live, then a radio station which features people who talk about community, who understand community, isn't going to be successful. So what we do is totally dependent on people believing that the communities in which they live are good towns and that it's worthwhile learning about those good towns and being part of them. And it's a symbiotic thing that, you know, community radio exists within a community because there's a community that cares. And we have been extremely fortunate in coming into a population where people do care.
Hi, this is George, advertising manager here at WATD. If you have a business or organization on the South Shore, we'd love to have you as one of our charter sponsors. We can get your message across and do it for you in stereo, right here on WATD FM Stereo 96. For more information, call me at 837-1166. That's 837-1166. Thank you.
Celebrating 45 years as the South Shore's radio station, 95.9 WATD.
Coverage of the blizzard of 1978 brought a lot of attention and recognition to this radio station. So it's no surprise that coverage of breaking news and severe weather has been part of our broadcast history for these past 45 years. Now we look back to the WATD newsroom.
Hello, this is WATD News Director Ethan Harris. We're conducting some equipment tests right now, and while we're at it, I'd like to take a few moments to tell you a little bit about WATD News. It'll be the job of the news department to keep you informed about the world around you. WATD News is staffed by a group of highly trained broadcast journalists who provide you with lots of local South Shore news every day and every hour. Our staff will be hard at work behind the scenes to make sure you're kept well informed about your town, the South Shore, the state, the nation, and of course the world. Our news department is equipped with some of the most sophisticated news gathering equipment in the world today. We'll be using this complex system to inform you 24 hours a day. We call the system electronic news gathering. Electronic news gathering. Give WATD News the capability of reporting stories as they happen, anywhere and at any time, day or night. We're hoping to use ENG to report live from town meetings and to cover a lot of other fast-breaking stories throughout the entire South Shore. And of course, as many of you know, the weather on the South Shore is not always the same as the weather in Boston. And so, WATD News will give you the local weather forecast. And speaking of weather, whenever the schools close because of good old Mother Nature, you can depend on WATD News to give you the very latest. Whenever a major storm does strike the area, WATD News will be there, providing the latest information. WATD News, soon to be a major part of your life on the South Shore. We'll be serving you soon. WATD, FM 96, Stereo South Shore.
95.9 WATD, serving the South Shore. The end of October, 1991. Remember our coverage of the no-name storm, which was later renamed the Perfect Storm.
A very dangerous ocean storm now backing in on Massachusetts.
Situation is really very serious out here in Humrock. There are very few cars here at the moment, and they're getting out because the water is coming up over the street.
The parking lot is going to be underwater.
Along the South Shore, towns like Scituate, Marshfield, Duxbury, our immediate coast, we have not experienced this kind of weather since the blizzard of 78.
I am watching his house go down the North River. It just broke off of its foundation.
95.9 WATD.
WATD's news director chair has been filled by a number of great talents over the years, including my anchor on the South Shore's morning news when we started the program in November of 2000. Scituate native and now working for ABC News, Aaron Katursky.
I've been interested, like every kid, in sports and thought about broadcasting, knowing very little about either, and met Bill and was hooked almost instantly, and worked with Bill on his sports exchange show and then on his high school football and basketball broadcast throughout high school, and then one thing leads to another. And when you work at WATD, you never just do one thing. So I think at one point you do just about everything. You take out the garbage and you prepare meals or you unlock the building in the morning. When I finally got hired on, it was as news director. It was a great job. I was there just a year as news director, but it was an exciting year. Oh, it was 2000, of course, because it was the election year. I'd been in Syracuse, New York at a station, and it was a great opportunity to come back a little bit closer to home. And then I ended up leaving after that to go to Texas. But I went to college in Syracuse and then stayed there for a little while. And then whenever I was home, though, Ed would have me fill in running the board for something, calling up high school football game, or being on the air when somebody was sick or whatever. You know, I'd always sort of pop in because even now, it's almost like going home, you know? It's familiar faces, it's the same people, and it's the same kind of an atmosphere that I remember it when I walked in the first day and when I was 15. From there, I went to Houston, Texas, as a reporter, and then I stayed in Texas for 3 years, and then I picked up with ABC. I was fortunate enough to have a relationship with ABC in Houston just because of news events that happened, and I got embedded when the war started in 03, and then finally they hired me on and brought me up to New York shortly thereafter.
You mentioned Bill as one of your mentors. Who else at WATD do you think of as having been your mentor?
Bill and Ed, for sure, who just let me do things. Christine James, who is, the funniest woman on the planet, and keeps everyone sort of sane with her repertoire of material. And Kathy D, really taught me how to do radio, how to run an audio board properly, how to mix music tracks, how to splice reel-to-reel tape. And even now at ABC, very few people, since everything's digital now in radio, very few people know how to do it. And in our London bureau, when I was filling in there for a little while, there is no digital editing equipment. It's still a reel-to-reel, and it was a pleasure. I think the thing that ATD does that moves people and that always I found to be quite moving is that it gives ordinary folks on the South Shore a voice. You know, kids that played tennis at my high school that did well, you know, Bill Wilhelm would have them on, or somebody at the Chamber of Commerce does something well, Ed goes and interviews them. And it took a long time when I was the news director to sort of get that. You know, I was like, Ed, I don't get where there's no story here. Who is this person? And Ed's like, no, he's going on the air and I'm interviewing him, and you know, what are you gonna do? But I think it's the utter frustration of the place, but also it's the charm of the place and why it matters. And Ed's philosophy has always been, you give local people a voice, no matter what their status is. And that's how he wanted to build listeners. He never wanted to do a lot of fancy promotion, and he never wanted to do anything gimmicky. It was always, you build an audience by putting their kids on the radio, by putting their, you know, 90-year-old grandmother on the radio, whatever it takes, and that's how you get people to listen to the station.
Today, WATD's news director and managing editor is the talented, award-winning Christine James.
She's probably one of the most intelligent people in the station. Actually, not even probably, certainly.
Now, live from 95.9 WATD, this is the Midday Report.
12:03, this is the WATD Midday Report with news, sports, weather, and a look at Wall Street. I'm Christine James. Now, here's what's happening. Two men are facing charges in Brockton after police were called. Well, it's a great week to get together and spend time with friends and family. Unfortunately, this is also a week when people can let down their guard and get out on the road when they're not sober.
I think that's true. I mean, we have, unfortunately, tragedy can happen, and it can happen in a moment.
And one thing that guys learn early in life is you do what women tell you to. And Christine, you said, go out, cover this thing. And so I have done it. And I'm going to go to Green Harbor, then I'm going to Brant Rock, and then I'm coming back, finish the payroll, and go home. What do you think?
I think that's good, Ed Perry. And because you did what I said, you get a gold star in your file today.
Celebrating 45 years of broadcast history here on the South Shore, 95.9 WATD. Back on our 30th anniversary, WATD's Larry Nelson had a chance to catch up with a few other members from the news department, voices who are no longer with us. WATD's Statehouse reporter, Kevin McNicholas, and WATD's anchor for many, many years, Dave Skill.
Well, we're talking tonight with Kevin McNicholas, who works for our WATD news department at the Statehouse in Boston. Good evening, Kevin.
Hey, Larry. How are you doing? Good.
Thank you very much. And you've been with us since the early 90s?
Yeah, I think it's about 1991. I don't remember the exact month, but in some ways it's been a long time, and in other ways it went by quickly.
And it's a lot of fun. We've actually had you do other things. Mainly, you are at the Statehouse reporting on things happening in the Statehouse with the governor and such. And sometimes we've had you down here. You've been part of our, I believe, the train trip that we took back in 1997, and some of the storm coverage. I believe way back, you and I went around.
Way back, we were watching the waves crash along the beach in Marshfield there. Oh, I've gone to the national conventions on behalf of WATD. I was in New York City, and I was in Los Angeles. So Ed, has sent me a few places other than the Statehouse.
Well, so you've gotten out of there a couple times, which is...
Well, yeah, and I get out of here during the day. I go down to City Hall, or I go down to the federal courthouse to see the U.S. attorney, or perhaps a trial, or part of a trial, or over to the state Supreme Court building, or maybe to a hotel or two, or to the airport to see somebody coming or going, or an occasional mishap, a fire, or a bad accident, or something. You just never know what you're going to end up doing when you come to work.
Now, Kevin, how long have you been involved in news in general, not just with ATD?
Well, I've been doing this since January of 1975. And when I started doing this, it was obviously a long time ago. I can remember back in 1976 covering a speech that Rose Kennedy made one Sunday afternoon over at the Sheraton Boston, and she was quite a speaker. I can remember asking Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis down at the groundbreaking of the Kennedy Library. I asked her if she was disappointed that the library was not going to be in Cambridge, which is where her husband wanted it, and she's very, very good at answering the question. She said, I said, are you disappointed that the library won't be in Cambridge? And she said, no, I'm happy it's here. So even though she didn't deal with the media very often, she was very good at it when she did. And over the years, I've gotten to see quite a few people, Frank Sinatra, Bob Hope. There's just no end to the number of people that come through Boston for one reason or another, to entertain or occasionally to seek medical treatment, to speak at a commencement. So there's a lot going on, and we're fortunate that the biggest city in New England is also the capital city, which is something that reporters in other states don't aren't fortunate enough to have that situation, where the big city is also the capital city. Can you imagine spending a lifetime in Albany or Sacramento or Springfield, Illinois? I don't want to insult people that live in those places or come from those places, but compared to Boston, I think they're pretty dull.
Well, it's been pretty exciting in Boston the last 10 years with the Big Dig and in the political races and the Democrats coming in and having their debates here at the UMass.
Well, I was down there. I can remember Jesse Jackson having a beer down there. I remember Robert Novak at his typewriter at, I don't know, it was almost midnight. He's got to be one of the hardest working reporters in the United States, and I think he's well into his 70s. And he was telling somebody, this is maybe 11:30, 20 minutes to 12, he's typing away, and he's telling somebody he had a 6:30 a.m. flight out of Logan. I remember that night. I remember Governor Pataki of New York, or now former Governor Pataki, coming over and joining the listeners of WATD. We had a set up there, and he came over and chatted with us for a while. So you look back on these things, and you say, gee, I'm glad I was there. And yeah, I was working, but gee, I had a lot of fun, so maybe instead of them paying me, I should pay them.
Well, isn't that the main thing? Is whatever you do for work, you want it to be fun, and if it isn't fun, you don't want to do it. Now, how did you come to work for ATD? How did that all come about?
Well, I believe that Ed and Bob Stone, who's the news director, sent out the word that they were looking for someone to cover Boston, and I applied, and I sent some stories down one week, and I know someone else did too, and they chose me.
And you've been with us ever since.
And I've been with you guys ever since.
Over the years that you've been with ATD, what would you look back? What was your most memorable moment?
Well, I don't know. I should have anticipated that you were going to ask me that. And as Dwight Eisenhower said when he was asked, about Richard Nixon, can you name one of his accomplishments or his biggest accomplishment? He said, well, give me a while and I'll get back to you. So I don't know. It's hard to say. I guess going to Los Angeles and reporting from 3,000 miles away from the Democratic convention out there was a lot of fun. I certainly remember September 11th being out at the airport that day. That certainly was not a happy or fun assignment. It was a terrible day. I remember there wasn't much information available that afternoon. I mean, we knew what had happened, but Logan Airport was not a great source of information. You know, I'm on the air with WATD and one or two other stations, and, you know, I just couldn't give them new information, and I was sort of forced to recap what had happened, and I said, you know, it's just so hard to believe that on this beautiful, gorgeous day, which it was, late summer days, because it was still summer, early fall, but it was really late summer. I said, it's just hard to imagine that all these doomed people went through this airport this morning, just a few hours ago, on this road, because there's only one road into the airport. And I said, you know, it's just so hard to imagine that a few hours ago they were riding into the airport, and then this god-awful thing has transpired, and now it's only 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and the day is just as nice, but it's not. I remember that, and I remember the night over at the airport a few months later when a shoe bomber was taken into custody. And I remember finally when the passengers were being led from wherever they talked to the FBI and the state police, and they were being brought over to a new plane that would take them to Miami, I remember looking at these people and I said, Gee, you know, they were almost blown out of the sky this afternoon over the Atlantic Ocean, and it's just amazing. And you could see them coming along in a line with their luggage, and a couple of them were willing to come over and talk to us. I can still see those people walking one right after the other. They didn't have to be in single file, but they were. And of course, this is late at night. It's about 10:30 on a Saturday night. I can remember the shoe bomber a couple of days later when he walked into court. The door opens and in comes the shoe bomber, and boy, was he big. He was big.
Kevin, as we look back over 30 years now and your time here at ATD, anything that you want to say to the people who have been faithful listeners to WATD?
Well, thank you for listening. I hope I've met your expectations. Thanks for listening.
We're here now with Dave Skill, and let the listeners know a little bit behind the scenes. The morning news, I mean, the first newscast is at 5, and what time do you have to get in?
I usually get in about 4:30, and we record sound from the Associated Press. We go over the news events that have happened overnight. We get reports from our stringers who worked the night before, and we put it all together, and we do newscasts every half hour from 5:30 until 9 o'clock, and then we begin preparing the noon news, and then after the noon news, we begin preparing the afternoon news, and at the same time, getting ready for the next day, assigning stringers to different stories, working with our different reporters, talking to the police departments and police chiefs. So it's an ongoing thing, and we're always looking to the future.
And then, you know, that's the norm, but this time of year, in December and January and February, you wind up with the early morning snowstorms and stuff, and you live out just outside of Plymouth County on the South Shore, so you've got to trek down here in those storms.
I live in Canton, and I either have to trek down here, or what I've done in the past sometimes is I keep a cot in the trunk of my car in the wintertime, and sometimes I've been known to stay overnight here, sleep here in the building, so I'll be here in the morning because we really have to be here. And of course, stormy mornings are the busiest for us because in addition to the regular news, you're dealing with storm coverage, cancellations, and it's just really busy, and you just don't want to risk not getting here. And the other thing is you'd have to get up 2 o'clock in the morning because it would be so hard to get here. So oftentimes it's easier just to stay here when there's a major snowstorm. I came to ATD in the summer of 87, and I worked just weekends for 2 years. And then I started working here pretty much full-time in 89, doing sales work and news and some DJing. And I celebrated my 20th anniversary with the station back in August.
Oh, wow. 20 years you've been here at ATD. And there is a rumor going around that you're going to give this up.
Well, I'm either going to give it up or I'm going to cut back a little bit. I do enjoy this. I really don't want to give it up entirely because I really do enjoy it. I'd like to cut back just a little bit. And it occurred to me over the years I've been here, I figure I've done between 35 and 40,000 newscasts.
Dave, you talked about you've done some DJing here. You do a lot of these specialty shows every so often, a 60s show and such. Tell the listeners about that, some of the ones that haven't heard them.
Okay. What we do usually in February, we do a Beatles show right around the time that the Beatles had appeared on Ed Sullivan in February of 1964. So we do a Beatles show on October 12th, Columbus Day. We always do a one-hit wonder show because we said that Christopher Columbus was a one-hit wonder because all he did was discover America. We have done shows, for example, this past year was the 40th anniversary of the release of Sgt. Pepper. So we did a whole Sgt. Pepper show. We have done shows for folk rock, Motown, girl groups, and those are kind of fun because you're allowed to focus in on one particular genre of music and gives me a chance to do a little research, and it's really fun to put those shows together, and we've been doing those, and that's something I'd like to continue doing no matter what the future holds.
And getting back to news, what has been the most memorable news moment in your 20 years here at ATD?
Well, it would have to be 9/11. The morning of 9/11, it was about 9:15, 10 minutes to 9. We were just getting ready to finish up the morning when the plane crashed into the World Trade Center. And we looked and we thought, oh, it's just a private plane, no big deal. And then we realized that it was actually a commercial jet. And then, of course, we had the other plane that crashed. And then we had the plane in Washington at the Pentagon and the plane in Pennsylvania. And we had no idea what was happening. And so we went into, you know, just stop all the music, and we just basically did news all day, and Ed Perry came up, and we had Mike Krzyzanek, our political analyst. We had our financial analyst on. We had an airplane pilot. We had a psychologist on, you know, kind of dealing with the stress of the day, and it was a very long day, but it was, we had no idea what was happening, but it worked out fine. As a matter of fact, we won an AP award for our coverage of that day. So I guess I would have to say that was probably one of the most memorable days. There was one other one. It was the day after Christmas a few years back, and Aaron Katursky, who was our news director at the time, needed the day off, and we couldn't get somebody to do the afternoon. So he said to me, well, would you mind working a 14-hour day? Because, the day after Christmas, there'll be nothing going on. So I said, okay. So, you know, it turned out to be a very long 14-hour day because we ended up with the Mucko McDermott, who actually grew up in Marshfield, of all things, and he turned out to be the one at Edgewater Technologies up on the North Shore, and he murdered all those people. So that was a very memorable and a very long day as well. Thank you for all your support over the years, and it's been a pleasure. And I have to say that Ed Perry gave me an opportunity to do something I'd always wanted to do. I had done college radio. I had worked at a radio station in Worcester when I was in college, and Ed gave me this opportunity, and it's something that I've always wanted to do, and I'm glad that I was able to do it, and it's been a great 20 years.
This is radio station WATD in Marshfield, Massachusetts. WATD operates at a frequency of 95.9 megahertz by authorization of the Federal Communications Commission.
95.9 WATD, celebrating 45 years as the South Shore's radio station.
Hi, this is Bill Wilhelm for WATD Sports. I hope you'll be joining me for morning sports results on FM 96. Wake up each morning to the latest results in professional, college, and local high school action. Three live broadcasts will begin at 7:15 a.m. And sports fans, by all means, join me on Sunday evenings from 6 to 8 p.m. for the South Shore Sports Exchange, a talk show that will feature national and local sports personalities, the WATD sports team members, and you, the FM 96 sports fans. We can tell you what happened during the week, and on Sunday nights, maybe you and I can figure out why it happened. Please join us on the South Shore Station for Sports, WATD FM 96.
Earlier in the broadcast, we mentioned when WATD Radio first went on the air in December 1977. The very first broadcast was a sports broadcast, 1977's Division IV Super Bowl, Hull versus Ashland. And from the very beginning, our sports director was Bill Wilhelm. Back on the 30th anniversary of WATD Radio, WATD's Larry Nelson had a chance to speak with our now sports director emeritus, Bill Wilhelm.
Well, it's interesting, Larry. I had an insurance client who was an air personality in Boston by a fellow by the name of Joe McMillan, who I'm sure everyone's familiar with. And as we're concluding the life insurance process, I think most people know him in the life insurance business by now, that he had mentioned to me that there's a radio station being planned that might be going on the air here in the Marshfield area. And he said I would give a call to these two folks, Ed Perry and his partner at the time. And who knows, they might even need life insurance. So I gave them a call and I talked to Ed, and in a short while thereafter, he said, well, are you the same guy that had something to do with the men's softball leagues, both in Duxbury and Marshfield? I said, yep. The men's basketball leagues in both towns? I said, yep. And also that I was coaching soccer in Duxbury at the time, and still am, and JV boys, 33 years. Anyway, he said, well, gee, maybe you'd be interested in doing something on the radio. I said, well, I don't under any training in that area, but it might be kind of interesting. So then I got to thinking about it. I said, wow, you know, it might be interesting. Maybe this thing could really expand into something amazing, because there's so much in terms of sports activity going on around the South Shore, not only in the high school, but the amateur levels as well. And I was thinking in terms of how these games are always going on, but that people didn't get enough publicity. I thought, boy, that'd be really interesting. So we talked about it a little bit more, and then we went out and started practicing on a tape recorder. We did that for a whole season. My fellow compatriots here were Roger Homan, who did the play-by-play. I did the sidelines, and Dick Bayramption did the color. And we just did it into a tape recorder and practiced doing that. And then finally, at the end of the season, I think I want to say 1977, was it? The Super Bowl that year with Ashland and Hull. We went up to BU, and I think we were among the first voices ever heard on WATD broadcasting that game, which I did virtually commercial-free that day. But it was a good test run for us, and that went pretty well. And the rest is kind of history, as they say. It's just expanded and grown. The football's gotten better and better and bigger, and the high school basketball and high school hockey. I mean, all of it's just grown exponentially, and it's been a lot of fun.
Well, you look back at that first football game. That was actually 2 days prior to 30 days today, and that was the test for the transmitter to put it on. And we've heard many stories about how there was Ashland get pronounced wrong, but we don't have to go into that too much. In fact, we've actually gone back to there with Pembroke.
Exactly. Yeah, we did. They were the Clockers of Ashland, taking on the Hull Pirates back in BU's Nickerson Field. I think the first words I said were something along the lines of, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Boston University's Nickerson Field for this year's Super Bowl featuring the Clockers of Ashland and the Hull Pirates. And I turned over to Dick Bayramption, who in turn mispronounced the Ashland name. You can use your own joke in there. And I knew right then it was going to be a lot of fun.
What are some of your memorable moments looking back? And I'm sure there are many, and it's probably hard to pick a few, but what sticks out in your mind?
Oh, wow. Let's see. How about the rise of Marshfield football, for example, for the Marshfield fans. The Sean Morey, Matt Kalipinski era, how dominant those teams, how entertaining they were. The Bobby Flynn era up in Rockland. The Bob Fisher era when he was coaching Rockland basketball. Oh, my gosh, it goes on and on. The Billy Curley, Mickey and Maddie Curley years when they were at Duxbury High School basketball. And going way back, I mean, these guys got like no publicity when we went aired back in the 1970s. And I think pretty rapidly we found that we were pretty widely accepted, as were they, in getting their games played throughout the South Shore and getting them noticed, I should say. But gosh, there were so many great athletes that came in. Paul Burlow, I remember he was a great basketball player out of Scituate. You're going through the years. There have been so many players. And I don't mean to overlook the girls' players, too. There have been great female athletes here in the South Shore as well. I think about Kerry Flynn up in Rockland and Lauren Fuller in Duxbury. That's just in basketball alone. Some great soccer players from the South Shore. There have been so many. And so many great games. Like here we are here 30 years later. We just completed the high school Super Bowls. We've had teams go to the Super Bowls and win time and time and time again. And I'm not exaggerating when I say there's some great athletes here in the South Shore. We had so many of them. And it's not difficult to find a good, exciting football game. People are talking about the Hingham-Hanover game this year, in which each team scored a long touchdown run on their very first play from the line of scrimmage. And Mike Wheeler broke one 99 yards that night. And that's not the exception. That's kind of the rule anymore. There's some great high school football going on every Friday night all around the area. There are very few blowouts anymore. All the teams are relatively even, and you've got great high school competition. Sean McDonough, the famous TV announcer, was a Hingham High School graduate. And when he was used to the PA system when he was at Hingham High School, that's Will McDonough's son, Sean, who was, of course, the voice of many Boston teams. But he put a sign on his refrigerator, EGIS, which stands for Every Game is a Super Bowl. And for somebody out there, it may be the only time their games are on the radio. Now, we've had so many examples of that, where a player might have a career night. I remember Phil Lewis hit for 43 points for Plymouth Carver in basketball over Hingham. years ago. There's been so many. Billy Deftos, when he played at Marshfield, and the battles he had with the Mickey Curley teams. They were just great basketball. And then every year somebody rises to the occasion. And I don't know who it's going to be this year, but somebody's going to rise to the occasion. Someone's going to go to UMass Boston. Hopefully someone's going to go to the Fleet Center or the Garden. I still call it the Garden. But whatever it's going to be, it's going to be very interesting.
If there's anything you could want to say to any of the listeners that have been listening.
Well, I'd like to let them know that it's a community radio station. We have a lot of fun doing it. For the most part, it's a labor of love because people enjoy working on the sidelines. And we're doing the basketball games, the hockey games. And we're just doing it because we enjoy the heck out of it. And I hope the people have enjoyed it as much as we've enjoyed doing it.
Thank you very much, Bill, for spending some time with us tonight.
Thanks, Larry.
Today, our sports director is Quinn Kelly, who continues in the tradition of Bill Wilhelm with play-by-play broadcasts of high school football, basketball, and hockey, plus hosting the legendary Sports Exchange Sunday evenings on WATD.
Hello, Joe McMillan here with a reminder for you and your family. Be listening Christmas Eve and Christmas Day for WATD's South Shore Christmas Concerts from area high school bands and choral groups, your town schools like Marshfield and Duxbury and Scituate, Hanover, Hingham, Rockland, Norwell, Brockton, Plymouth Carver, Hull, South Weymouth, Cohasset, and Randolph and Quincy, and many more South Shore towns. Enjoy Christmas Eve and Christmas Day with the best in holiday music with your high school choral group on WATD, FM 96.
The tradition continues today as WATD highlights the talents of high school musicians. We'll be broadcasting our high school holiday concerts again this Christmas Eve and Christmas Day.
Rob Hakala, waking up the South Shore. Rob Hakala, WATD.
Celebrating 45 years of broadcast history on the South Shore, 95.9 WATD. I'm Rob Hakala, current program director and host of the South Shore's Morning News. It was a new, more news-intensive program that we started in November of 2000. Prior to my sitting in the chair, WATD Radio has had many morning hosts over the years, including Joe McMillan, Steve Mason, Kathy D., and our very first morning show host, Jerry Howard.
Hi, everyone. Jerry Howard here, Slim Pickens and Elizabeth Perkins, and we're testing the WATD FM Stereo 96 here on the South Shore. Slim?
Will you want me, Jerry?
Would you come over here, please? Well, when we get on the air, what am I going to say? Say, we're on the air now. On WATD? On WATD, yes, certainly. WATD FM 96 Stereo, South Shore. The greatest little station in the nation. Yes, sir. Elizabeth, thank you, Jerry. Hi, everyone. Yes, the boys are busily about the studios and the transmitter, and we're sort of on the air testing and... Oh, well... 5551234. Wait just a minute. That's not necessary. They can hear you, Slim. And they can hear us every morning, too, starting at 5:45 for sign-on. Elizabeth will make the coffee, and yours truly, the Jerry Howard program with Slim and Elizabeth and Ethan Harris and all the news. Oh, say, looking forward to it. Coming real soon, eh? Real soon. The sooner the better. The greatest little station in the nation. That's WATD FM 96 Stereo, South Shore. Why, of course. Yes, sir.
95.9.
The old troll of rock and roll.
Larry King.
Dick Pleasant.
Susan Lyon.
Steve Pelkey.
Gary Mitchell.
Sandy Benson.
Ted McCall.
95.9 South Shore Stereo. ATD.
WATD Radio has had many great personalities over the year, too many to list in this program. One of the people that filled in not only for me, but every shift at the radio station was a tireless, dedicated soul. His name was Rich Mahanner, or as many people knew him, Richie. You couldn't ask for a nicer, more dedicated guy. We lost Richie several years ago. Larry Nelson was able to talk to Richie back at the station's 30th anniversary.
Well, with Rich Mahanner, Rich has been around ATD, I'm going to say 1987.
Close, actually, half my life, 1986.
86.
Remember Super Bowl 20 when the Patriots got blown out by the Bears? I think it was like 45-10. That was my first official day when Ed Perry signed on an AM station, which was 1410 out of Brockton via phone link to Marshfield. It was nostalgia music, and I learned how to have a lot of fun playing the music, and making sure that every piece of equipment worked. It was a lot of fun when I started, and I can't believe I'm here all these years later.
I think that you've done probably every single possible job that could be here. Actually, Aaron Katursky said at ATD, you're the janitor and you're the news guy.
That's a good point. I guess you're alluding to every conceivable possible radio shift that we had there, from morning drive to midday, afternoon, I guess early evening, overnights, and weekends. Yes, I have done just about everything possible here, including one of my highlights, about maybe a decade ago, back in 1997, late. Remember the old Colony line opened up?
The railroad.
You were in Plymouth, and I remember I was playing the City of New Orleans. It was a highlight of time, and all of a sudden, I said, I'm just going to bring your microphone up, Larry, because you thought the train was going to be arriving, and the horn toots right as there. It says nighttime on the City of New Orleans, and I had the biggest goosebumps. It couldn't have been timed better, as if we'd planned it. That was a big highlight, and that was the time. That weekend, I was here for 35 straight hours. I came in for Joan Orr at the time, Friday night at 7 p.m., and left as, now I hate to use this term tragically, the late Burt Lewis passed away recently at 6 a.m. Sunday morning.
Your most memorable moment during your years here at ATD?
Of course, I've had many of them. Hard to say which one is the best one. I mentioned the highlight of the 35 hours on the board when you were at the Old Colony Railway inauguration, and another one when Patriots were in Super Bowl 20. Who'd have thought they made it that year? All the Boston sports teams made it to the very end, the final. Unfortunately, we were 0-4. That was the first year I remember the Red Sox being in the World Series, too, if I'm not mistaken, in the fall of 86. And ATD has really changed, as we mentioned, quite a bit from all the old studios. We've seen a couple of new consoles and boards go in, which I have fun with working with them, I should say, here on the station. And a lot of things have become a lot more user-friendly. Even the computer we have there in the studio, the server, I'm like, it's so easy, I can do it, I've said when I've been on the air. People are like, wow, how can even an old dinosaur can do it? It must be that easy. Basically, I've had a lot of great memories with ATD. It's just hard to say which one is the best one of all the times I've been here. Except I remember one of the very first pop songs of the year that I used to play here on WATD. It was a minor hit. It was Bop by Dan Seals. Kind of bringing back memories of reminiscing of the rockabilly 50s and 60s era. And another song, 20 Years Ago by Kenny Rogers. I wonder if anybody remembers that one. The line used to say, oh, what a dime could buy 20 years ago, because it was a wave of nostalgia going around then. That's when I first signed on.
Who were some of the first people you worked with here at ATD?
Well, I can remember one of our sales coordinators. I believe she's also in charge of sales, Jackie McGoodwin, and the vice president, Ed Perry. I mean, he was, of course, from the get-go. And, of course, Bill Wilhelm. The very first show I produced shy of the MG Kelly Top 30 USA Countdown was when Bill Wilhelm's Sports Exchange came on. And then, of course, Ted McCaw with Off the Wall. He's been here, I think, since the station started. And those were some of the highlights and staples of people I will always remember, probably until I become too senile to remember. Hopefully that'll be a few more years off.
Now, Rich, one of your passions has been weather, and you've always had a video camera during the storms. You've called in live from your home on the beach, and you've videotaped the beach, and I have a passion for it, too, but you've taken it another step, haven't you?
Well, just to an interest that I have, I've always wanted to be involved with the weather. I'm not exactly a meteorologist like Rob Gilman, who was one of the first-time people I knew here many, many years ago, or Jim Manning, the weekend colleague, but I love the weather. Being down here on the coast on the South Shore can be quite a bit different than 20 or 30 miles inland, and I've always had a love for the ocean, as you mentioned, the beach, surf, what makes the waves big, and getting into weather spotting courses too is a lot of fun. I can learn some different ideas and what to look for in the field, what weather we can expect just by looking at the sky. It can tell you a lot as well. And again, computers and technology playing a lot into the weather changes over the years. It's amazing. Remember the old black and white satellite photographs?
I was going to say that that technology has really come a long way.
And it just seems to get better and better and more advanced. I still love those old black and white imagery. You could really see the blob, the hurricane, the big black eye in the middle of it when it was a fully matured storm. And even on the newer computers today, you can get that too. It's a lot of fun being into the weather and just, you know, experiencing it. And, of course, helping out here when we have to do a lot of heaping, helping, shoveling amounts out here when Mother Nature throws tons of snow on WATD. As I said, the janitor, I kind of do everything I can to help out here.
And who could forget WATD's overnight man for many years, the late Ted McCaw.
Ted McCaw, 95.9 WATD.
Ted McCaw, the overnight guy here on WATD, and I guess you were associated at the station, Ted?
Not then.
Okay.
I had just thought about working for ATD, and at that time I worked for a school bus company in Hanson doing repairs, and of course February 6th was on a Monday, and the snow started coming down, and it got to be about 3 inches an hour. On the way home Monday afternoon, I had a 49 Chevy that had vacuum wipers, and we were beating the windshield, driving myself, just to get back here. And the rest was history. The next day, I lived in a mobile home. I got out of the mobile home, and they had shoveled the path, and the snow was up over my head on both sides. It was scary. But the blizzard of 78 is what put WATD on the map.
Ted McCaw, WATD's blind disc jockey, he was with us from 1978 until this year, passed away on Sunday. He'd been having a lot of health difficulties. Ted really distinguished himself. He was a really funny man who knew a lot about old music, and he had a record library at his house. Originally, he used to broadcast from the WATD studios. His parents would bring him down to the station from his house. He then lived in Hanson. He most recently lived in Weymouth. They'd bring him down from his house, and he would do the show overnight from the WATD studios. Later on, after his parents passed away, some folks from WATD built him a studio at his house in Hanson, and we put up a transmitter so that he could do his show from home, and do that show he did for over two decades. Ted McCaw was a great disc jockey. He was a lot of fun. He had a Studebaker named Audrey, and he actually drove the Studebaker. Of course, he had a pilot in the front seat with him, but Ted would drive that thing around not the public highways, but the WATD parking lot. Some people were a little reluctant to bring their cars into the parking lot when Ted was driving about, but he never ran into anybody. He was a fun guy. He had a lot of good times. He created a lot of good times for us here at the radio station and for his listeners. Teddy, we're going to miss you.
Ted McCaw.
Hi, join me at 2 a.m. for Off the Wall. If you're up, I'll be.
WATD. WATD's current afternoon host, Kathy D., is here in 2022. And, Kathy, why don't you tell us when you first started at WATD?
Oh, it was back when they invented sand. Oh, it was so long ago. I remember, though, I had just moved back from Maine. And my boss in Maine had told me that Ed Perry was starting a new radio station in Marshfield. So I figured, what the heck? So I sent in all my information and I got an interview. And shortly after that, I was hired. At the time, I was hired to do news, as a matter of fact, just to fill in on news. So I started there, and then eventually I ended up on the air as a DJ. But the funniest thing was that one of my first DJ stints, I got a call from Lloyd Simon, who was then the operations manager here many, many years ago. And he said, Kath, we've got a remote at the Hanover Mall, and the DJ that was going to do it isn't able to do it right now. So we need you to do it. Now, keep in mind, I had never done a remote in my life. It was great. And this was when we brought all the equipment out, all of it. You know, everything we used. And we did that right in the center where, if you remember the old Hanover Mall, where the fountain eventually was right there, just offside the fountain.
The fountain.
And I was scared to death, but managed to pull it off, and I've been here ever since.
Wow. And the Hanover Mall no longer is here.
That's right. I outlasted the mall.
The mall is gone, but Kathy D is still here at WATD, currently in the afternoons 2 until 6. And 45 years for WATD. How have things changed, Kathy, since when you started doing a show as to now?
Oh, my goodness. Well, the equipment has obviously changed. I mean, when we first started, it was turntables and what they call cart decks, which, if you're old enough to remember, they looked a lot like 8-track tapes. We used those. And then eventually it moved over to computers. And boy, that was something that I had to get used to. We used to edit tape, actual physical recording tape, with grease pencils and razor blades. And then that was all gone, and we did all our editing on the computer. And there was a big learning curve for me, but I finally got the hang of it, at least enough to be able to survive.
Well, one of the things I've often heard, Kathy, is about the then Governor Mike Dukakis visiting the radio station. Any truth to any of that story?
I will never live that down.
Well, I get asked about it all the time.
All right, here's the story behind the story. And my fearless leader, our fearless leader, Ed Perry, the owner of the radio station, every time he tells the story, he embellishes it a little bit more. But this was back when I was a baby DJ. And in fact, it was during, I think it was the blizzard of 78, if I recall.
Yeah.
And so I guess what happened was that Governor Dukakis was actually downstairs in the building, and Ed wanted to go on with him for a live interview. Well, I'm a baby DJ. Okay, well, I'll get to you. My song's still playing. I can't fade the song.
No.
Catherine, he says, I have the governor here. Yeah, okay, I'll get to you as soon as this is over. One more minute. And poor Ed ended up just looking at the governor and just kind of shrugging his shoulder and said, she's out of control. I have no control over her at all. So I guess it's true to a certain extent. But again, in my defense, I was a baby DJ. I didn't feel that it was right to fade the song, even in the middle of a blizzard.
But you're right. Over the years, he keeps making the song longer and longer.
Oh, he just embellishes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just amazing. He just adds to the story. So that is the basic, simple fact of it, that my song was playing, and I had been told as a DJ that, you'd let the song finish. Of course, nobody told me that if there's a blizzard, you might want to fade that. It would be okay to fade that song.
It would be okay in that circumstance.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, 45 years of WATD, Kathy. Can you believe it?
I can't. But you know what? What makes us so special? Anybody can play the same music, but what they can't replicate is what we have here at WATD, and that is the local community connection. It's all about connection. It's touching people and listening to people and having them call you up and, request a song that's special in their life or telling you something that's happening in their life right now. And it's just an amazing thing to be able to do that. I'm very blessed. We all are, really, when you think about it. I mean, we get to do a job that we love.
Kathy D, 95.9 WATD.
Celebrating 45 years of broadcast history on the South Shore. 95.9 WATD. While the names and voices have changed over the years, the mission hasn't. A commitment to community. A commitment to the South Shore. We've done it for 45 years. And tomorrow, we begin again. The South Shore's radio station, 95.9 WATD.